From the Maine Public Broadcasting Network, here's the news for This Day in Maine, Monday, November 30th, 2015. I'm Andrew Catalina, in for Barbara Caridi. On this day, the EPA toured a Maine farm this morning as it tries to convince farmers that a new clean water rule won't hurt them. Heat pumps continue to increase in popularity, Governor Paul LePage has even outfitted the Blaine House with one, and Saddleback may have an update this week on whether the ski mountain will open this winter. Those stories and more after this.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by listeners like you and by Lee Auto Malls, serving Maine since 1936 and a proud supporter of MPBN Radio, with locations throughout the state and online at leeauto.com.
The head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Administration was in Maine this morning trying to reassure small farmers that a new clean water rule won't affect them. But national farm groups aren't buying it. Erwin Gratz reports.
Gallons truck. I've got 200 gallons of extra milk.
It's impossible to know why the cows at Smiling Hill Farm were sounding off this morning as EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy toured a barn with Maine Senator Angus King, Smiling Hill Farm President Warren Knight, and others. But McCarthy understands full well why farmers have been sounding off about her agency's new rule.
This is not about continuing to enhance regulation on agriculture, but continuing to make it easier for them to understand how they can do the work that's so important to all of us.
The rule would protect additional streams and wetlands that provide drinking water under the Clean Water Act. Some of those small ponds or other wetlands may be on farms, which is why some farmers worry diverting a small stream or filling in a wetland could get them in hot water. But Administrator McCarthy insists exemptions already in place for farmers won't be affected by the new rule.
We're not going to require new permits for agriculture. We've actually expanded exemptions. So we think we've done a good job not just in protecting agriculture while we're protecting water quality, but doing it in a way that allows them more freedom to continue to do the work that's so important to all of us.
The American Farm Bureau, on a website titled Ditch the Rule, describes as laughable that the new rule will only affect about 1,300 acres of land nationwide. Maine Senator Angus King, who invited McCarthy to come to Maine, says the federal government should tread lightly on the operations of smaller farms.
We just had a vote in the Senate on some bills that I think, frankly, went too far in undercutting the Clean Water Act. But at the same time, we just want to be sure the farmers have clarity and understand what the rules are and that we don't convert them into a situation where they have to constantly be getting permits and hiring lawyers and soil scientists.
The new EPA rule has been stayed for now by a federal appeals court. McCarthy says EPA will, in the meantime, try to prove its friendliness to farmers by implementing current environmental rules in ways that provide exemptions farms say they need. For MPBN News, I'm Erwin Gratz.
The Maine Legislature's Health and Human Services Committee has held its fourth meeting to explore how the Fund for a Healthy Maine spends its money. It's funded by more than $50 million a year that the state gets as its share of the lawsuit against the tobacco companies for misleading claims about cigarettes. The panel's co-chairman, Democratic State Representative Drew Gatine from Westbrook, says the panel was frustrated by a lack of cooperation from the Department of Health and Human Services.
Unless the department comes and tells us how it's spending the money and how it's holding vendors accountable, you know, we can't even really assess the extent to which that's true or not true.
Gatine says they got cooperation from the vendors providing various services funded by the program, but could not get the answers they sought from the department.
It was kind of disheartening and frustrating that a lot of what we spent the last four meetings doing here was figuring out what we didn't have as opposed to assessing the information that was given to us.
The panel is recommending the department be required to provide a detailed annual report to the legislature on how and why the money is spent. Brent Cross has died at age 58 after a battle with cancer. He was the son of Woodrow Cross, who founded Cross Insurance. Cross joined his father's business in 1979 and served as executive vice president, supervising the company's expansion over the past four decades from a single office to more than 30 locations throughout New England. A company spokeswoman said he died on Thanksgiving at Massachusetts Medical Center. The Bangor native and Husson University graduate helped to build partnerships with the New England Patriots, Boston Red Sox, and Boston Bruins. The Cross Insurance Center in Bangor and Cross Civic Center in Portland bear the company's name. Cross is survived by his wife, five children, four siblings, and his 98-year-old father. The funeral will be held Wednesday at Bangor Baptist Church. Maine's special deer hunting season for people who hunt with muzzleloader rifles is getting started across the state. The regular firearm season ended on Saturday, but those with muzzleloaders can continue through December 12th in southern, coastal, and central Maine. Inland Fisheries and Wildlife spokesman Mark Laddie says there are two main reasons hunters take part in the muzzleloader season. First, it gives many hunters a chance to extend their season and track deer on snow. And second, it allows hunting in relative isolation.
The opportunity to have the woods to yourself and not worry about another hunter possibly jumping your deer or, you know, tracking a deer for a while and only to come across another hunter's footsteps.
Laddie says Maine sees between 12,000 and 15,000 hunters who use muzzleloaders each year, compared to more than 10 times that during the regular firearm season. December 12th is also the final day of the expanded archery season for deer, which is open in some urban areas around the state. Police are investigating a break-in at the Maine State Prison Showroom located on Main Street in Thomaston. Police Chief Kevin High says an employee called police about the break-in just before 5 this morning.
Apparently at this time a safe was taken and there's several $1,000 cash missing.
The store is a longtime fixture of Thomaston and is well known for its handcrafted wood products made by inmates in the Prison Industries Program. High says state police have spent most of the day processing the scene. He says he can't provide specifics about how the burglars got into the building. As we move into the holiday driving season, the average price of gas in Maine is a little above the national average and a bit up from last week at $2.19. But that price is still about a penny lower than it was this time last month. After dropping steadily all summer, gas prices stabilized in October and November. But Gas Buddy analyst Jeffrey Pelton says prices are now poised to keep falling.
And that's really based on the global oversupply of crude oil. We're just swimming in crude oil, and that's why you're seeing gas prices 71 cents cheaper this time around than they were this time last year.
Pelton says there's a chance that prices could drop as low as $1.99 by the end of the year and could keep dropping into early 2016. Blaine House in Augusta is like a lot of homes in Maine. It's big, beautiful, and expensive to heat. And like many Mainers, Governor Paul LePage has outfitted his official residence with new technology designed to take some of the burn out of the heating bill. Mallory has more.
The sprawling mansion just across the street from the State House is not only home to the governor's family, it's a museum.
We want this house to stay another 200 years. This is a real inspiring house. It was built in 1830s.
On a recent tour of the house, Governor Paul LePage highlights its historic significance. One of the biggest attractions is the study of James G. Blaine, who served as Speaker of the U.S. House and a U.S. Senator, and is the only person in history to serve as Secretary of State under three different presidents. But LePage says the building is expensive to heat, and that's why he decided to install heat pumps.
The heating system was atrocious, costing somewhere around $40,000 a year, I'm told, to heat the place. So we've cut that down by 75%. So that's one of the reasons to lower the cost.
And LePage says the heat pumps also save on cooling costs in the summer. And he and his wife, Ann, have been so impressed with the technology, they've had it installed in their home in Booth Bay. They are not alone in their enthusiasm for heat pumps, as some 11,000 units have been installed in Maine this past year. Dana Fisher, the residential program manager for Efficiency Maine, says the trend is likely to continue.
One of the most popular new heating upgrades that's going on in Maine right now is air source heat pumps, the mini split heat pumps. More than 700 were installed just last month.
Fisher explains that these units employ very efficient motors and heat exchange equipment to extract heat from even very cold air, but can also help cool a home in summer. Fisher says a single unit priced at about $3,500 can handle a small home, but in a cold climate such as Maine, sometimes heat pumps cannot completely replace a heating system. Richard Burbank, president of Evergreen Home Performance, a certified installer, says many homeowners use the devices in conjunction with another source, such as a gas or oil-fired furnace.
Heat pumps are an incredible way of supplementing it, so the heat pump is limited in how much heat it can actually produce. But if you get as much as you possibly can out of that and take the load off of your heating system, especially in the spring and fall, that's a really great cost-effective solution.
Mike Stoddard, Executive Director of Efficiency Maine, says the agency is offering a $500 rebate on the cost of buying and installing a heat pump system, and the program is very popular.
We are very impressed with the performance of these high-efficiency cold weather heat pumps and the demand from consumers for them, and we can see why customers like them.
Efficiency Maine is funded through a fee on utility bills, and Stoddard says the agency's new three-year budget reflects the growing public demand for heat pump technology. There's funding in the first year for 7,000 rebates, and that increases in the third year to 10,000 rebates. For MPBN News, I'm Mal Leary.
Saddleback Mountain may give word this week on whether it will open for the winter, according to the ski resort's general manager. Back in July, Saddleback announced the mountain would be forced to close if it couldn't come up with $3 million to replace an aging ski lift with a new four-person chair. Saddleback posted an update on Facebook in early October, saying the mountain was in serious talks with the buyer, but has remained mum since. And season pass holders have been frustrated by the lack of information about the resort's immediate future. Jayfield reports.
In the July message, Saddleback officials said the Berrys had guaranteed that all season pass holders would be reimbursed if the mountain failed to open for the upcoming ski season. But the limited flow of information since then on possible sale and reimbursement plans has left some Saddleback skiers shaking their heads.
I guess I've been thinking it's going to be dark for a year.
Luke Labby, who lives in Falmouth, skis at Saddleback every winter with his wife and three young kids. The family has owned a condo at the resort for several years. It's right on the mountain at about 2,000 feet, a short ski down to the base lodge. Labby has already paid about $1,900 for passes for the upcoming season.
I don't really want to drop a couple more grand or $3,000 to go to Sugarloaf if our mountain's going to open for 2 months and stick it to the ticket owners or season pass holders.
If Saddleback closes, Labby says Shawnee Peak has offered the family a season pass for $750, well below their normal rate of $2,150. But Shawnee, located in Bridgeton, is over 100 miles away from Saddleback. Sunday River and Sugarloaf, which are much closer, have offered the family their early bird April rates.
I expect that Saddleback will be following up in the near future. I mean, obviously, it's just about December, so winter is here in the state of Maine.
Greg Sweetser, who heads the group Ski Maine, says Saddleback has been mum about the status of any sale talks.
It's been very quiet. Everybody's still just waiting for, some announcement.
If the mountain were to remain closed for the year, another early season pass buyer says he's not worried about getting his money back. Dick Hall and his family have been skiing at Saddleback since the early 1970s.
In my opinion, the Berrys are extremely honorable people, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't eventually pay it back. Now, it would not surprise me if they have to wait till they sell it before they can pay that back.
Chris Farmer, Saddleback's general manager, declined to do a taped interview on the status of any negotiations, but said an announcement on the ski area's future could come as early as the middle of the week. For MPBN News, I'm Jay Field.
And that's the news on This Day in Maine, Monday, November 30th, 2015. Our theme music was composed by Robert Holt. Thanks to our news leaders Keith Shortall and Susan Sharon, and to Erwin Gratz, Ed Morin, Nora Flaherty, Mal Leary, and Jay Field for their contributions to the program. I'm Andrew Catalina. For all of us here at MPBN News, thanks for listening.